Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me, Rob McConnell, as together we'll investigate the world of the paranormal and the science of parapsychology here on the X-Zone Radio TV show on XZBN and the X-Zone TV channel on Simul TV. Since 1990, the X-Zone Radio TV show has been the place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Together, we'll investigate UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic phenomenon, lake monsters, conspiracy theories, government cover-ups, the truth embargo, alien abductions, ESP, haunted locations from around the world, and so much more. With over 28 years of broadcasting and more than 4,500 individual guests, the X-Zone is truly a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality, as evidenced by the credibility, integrity, and professionalism of the guests that we bring to our international audience. If you have seen a UFO, had a close encounter, seen a ghost, Bigfoot, lake monster, or a story that you would like to share or have investigated, contact me, Rob McConnell, by sending me your email to xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-610-7035, extension 143, and on Skype, X-Zone Radio TV. For more information on the X-Zone Radio TV show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, visit www.xzoneradiotv.com or www.xzonetvchannel.com or simultv.com and xzbn.net. Until next we meet here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, always remember, X-Zone Nation, keep your eyes to the sky and your heart in the light.
X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Nobody can tell you. There's only one song worth singing. They may try and sell you.
And welcome back to the X-Zone, everyone. I am Rob McConnell, and for the next 4 hours, I'm your host and your guide as together we cross the time-space continuum to this place that I call the X-Zone. It's a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. It's a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. And the X-Zone comes to you Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern, right here on the X-Zone Broadcast Network, Simul Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and affiliates around the world. If you'd like to send me an email, xzone@xzoneradiotv.com, and to find out about the fine programming we have available for each and every one of you with our compliments, 24/7, 365, visit www.xzbn.net. My guest tonight, X-Zone Nation, this first hour of tonight's show, is Stephen Salarius, and we're going to be talking about reincarnation. Stephen, welcome to the X-Zone.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Stephen.
Well, I have been interested in reincarnation as part of Eastern philosophy since I was 19. I'm now 65, so quite a while. But around 1997, I decided I had a video production company, and I decided, you know, I really need a personal project so I don't get go completely commercial and forget all about my artistic interests.
Right.
You know? So I woke up one morning and knew it was going to be on reincarnation and started researching the subject. And I found that there had actually been quite a bit of research done in the West, Western culture, as well as in the East. So that was the beginning of my venture into this.
But why reincarnation?
Well, I said, like I said, I woke up one morning and knew that's what it was going to be. Now, I believe that at night you get messages or you get contacts, spirit contacts, and you don't remember them.
Right.
So my guess is somebody informed me that that was what I was going to do, but I, you know, I don't remember that. I just know I woke up and it was real clear that was going to be the subject.
It would seem that the decision as to the reality of reincarnation is, you know, has not been established yet. So why do you believe in reincarnation?
Well, it has. That's a myth that it hasn't been established.
Who established
it? Repeated often. You'll see as a meme, you know, well, it can't be proven. It can't be proven. It can't be proven. It's in, but that's not true, actually.
Okay.
It has been proven many times over.
How can we prove that reincarnation is real?
Well, the first thing that I did was to study the work of Dr. Ian Stevenson at the University of Virginia. He's passed on now. His successor's carrying it on. That's very strong. He said that it was that his results were suggestive of reincarnation. But as a scientist, he had to say that because in science, there's no proof. And also, he was under an awful lot of fire. So he said it was suggestive of reincarnation to, you know, for the critics and also for the sake of scientific honesty.
So since his passing, has reincarnation been accepted by the scientific community?
Not that I know of.
No way.
I believe that Carl Sagan said it was the one or one of the few areas that had some promise or some possibility and deserved being looked into.
Why do you believe that you are the reincarnation of, I believe it is, Matthew Franklin Whittier?
Whittier, yeah.
Whittier,
like the
right.
poet Whittier, who's not too well known anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, I stumbled upon an etching of his, a three-quarter profile etching of him, his in his mid-40s.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I looked at the portrait at the eyes, I felt very deeply that that was me. That began my investigation. It was maybe 2-3 years into the investigation before I felt comfortable saying that I was certain about it. Up until then, I would say the proposed match or, you know, that kind of thing. I'd use that sort of language.
Mm-hmm.
But over the period of 10 years, the evidence accumulated to the point where it was just obvious.
What kind of evidence?
Well, you're talking 10 years, but... Well, I'll give you a couple examples if you want, if we have time.
Please, yeah, sure we do.
The strongest ones. There's like 100 of them. And so first I should explain my method. What you want to do is to remember something, and that can be emotional, it can be an impression, it can be actual cognitive memories. You know, there's different kinds of memories. So you want to record those things before there's any possible chance that you could have found it by normal means. Because there's something called false memory or cryptomnesia that you want to be able to say, well, it wasn't that. You want to defeat that explanation. So you want to remember something that you couldn't possibly have known by any normal means, and then you want to find it in the deep historical record where you couldn't have stumbled across it. So that was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wrote down an email, to the people I was working with, you know, everything that I remembered, you know, in journals or in emails. And I was able to verify to a certain extent, you know, maybe 100 of them, at least to the point of being plausible. You know, I consider that there was a range from plausible to proven. And I would say maybe there's 5 or 4 that I would put up in the level of proof. And by proof, I mean like the legal standard of proof, you know, that it would convict somebody, you know. So then below that is maybe 20 that are very close, but maybe not quite close enough to convict somebody, you know, it's pretty darn close. And below that is maybe, you know, 75 that are at least plausible. So, but I can go into some of the best ones, but with the caveat that when you only share those, you got to remember that there's a lot more behind it. You know, in other words, you'd have to read the whole study. You'd have to see all 100 of them to really be impressed. One or two, you can explain away. You know, does that make sense?
It certainly does, but...
No matter how strong they are, you can still find a loophole if you only look at 2 or 3, see? Yeah.
Well, I'm willing
to share those, yeah.
So why do you think that society, the majority of society, does not accept reincarnation as being fact?
Well, partly it's just brainwashing.
By whom?
We're just conditioned. Well, we're just conditioned from, you know, knee high. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I'm not sure I remember this, but I'm pretty sure. My father was in the Merchant Marine, and you know, he would talk about ships and the ship he came off of. And suddenly I piped up, you know, Daddy, I was on ships too.
Yeah.
And so what happened was I was told that's not true. You weren't on any ships. And I got shut down. So, of course, I never brought it up again. You know, in a family or in a culture where it's actually accepted, they don't shut the kid down. See, totally different. There are a few cases where the kid has nightmares and the nightmares won't leave him alone and he's screaming at night and they have to deal with it. You know, the Leininger case was like that, James Leininger. But most of the time, when children remember a past life and say something about it, the parents just, you know, mildly ridicule it, and that's the end of it. So that's why the society as a whole, that's one big reason the society as a whole has not accepted it. The other reason, I think, is that reincarnation carries with it the idea of karma, and karma means 100% accountability for everything you do, and people don't like that. People feel that they got rid of religion, they got rid of Christianity, and they got rid of hell.
Well,
so they don't want anything else that makes them responsible.
But how can you say that we got rid of Christianity?
Well, an awful lot of people have. Not everybody, obviously, but it's been marginalized to the point where if you believe in Christianity, for example, I've been going through colleges lately to write to the professors, and there are Christian colleges and there are normal colleges.
Mm-hmm.
The normal colleges, they're atheists or humanists or, you know, most of them. And the Christian colleges are Christian, and there's no interaction between the two. They're completely separate. And in this culture, the Christians are in a world by themselves and a you know, increasingly marginalized world.
You know, you were saying that if people accepted reincarnation, then they would have to accept karma. Well, in the Bible, it strictly says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's the exact same thing as karma.
Karma is there, except reincarnation got taken out. It was there in Jesus' teachings originally, mm-hmm. but it got made anathema. The preexistence of the soul was made anathema. I don't know all the particulars. I don't want to go into that too much because I don't have the facts and figures in mm-hmm. front of me. But it was there originally, at least among the inner circle, anyway.
Okay, let me ask you this: Are you a father?
Yeah.
Okay. Have any of your children come to you with the reincarnation stories?
No, not me personally. No.
Okay. If they did, how would you treat them?
Well, I just listen, you know, tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Why is reincarnation so important in our present day society to some people?
Well, I can tell you why it needs to be in there. You know, I don't know why it's important to each individual person. That's probably mm-hmm. an individual thing. But reincarnation comes not only 100% responsibility, but meaning, intrinsic meaning. When we threw out religion, meaning organized religion, we threw the baby out with the bathwater, when a lot of people did.
All right, hold on here. We've got to take our commercial break. But I disagree with you. I don't think anybody threw out established religion at all.
Okay.
You know, look at the Vatican, look at Catholicism, look at Christianity, and look at some of the other religions that are out there. You know, I don't think that established religion has been tossed out, and I certainly don't think they threw the baby out with them. But we'll be back on the other side of this commercial break as we continue here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. If you'd like to find out more about our guest, his website is www.ial.goldthread.com. I'm Rob McConnell. This is the X Zone. Don't go away.
They may try and sell you because it hangs them up to see someone like you. But you gotta make your own kind of music, sing your own special song, make your own kind of music, even if
it's hard to listen to the news without realizing we're living in volatile, unprecedented times. Yet never has there been such an opportunity to transform the human condition. As old structures fail, where can we find the guidance to co-create a better way? Find Your Path Home is an ever-evolving, leading-edge information, education, and healing resource center designed to support and guide you on your path to unity and enlightenment. Based on sound principles employed by shaman worldwide, we provide techniques that can support you through the current transitions, offering online shamanic classes, international long-distance shamanic healing sessions, complimentary Mission Evolution radio episodes and Stairway to Heaven TV vignettes, seminars, retreats, and much more. All of this can be found on findyourpathhome.com.
So I was watching the X-Zone TV channel last night when I was abducted by aliens, and they kept repeating to me over and over again, SimulTV.com, SimulTV.com.
What's SimulTV.com?
That's what I asked them. They had it written on the side of their UFO.
How do you spell that?
UFO.
No, I mean SimulTV.com.
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 Right. SimulTV.com.
Interesting that you were abducted by aliens in a SimulTV.com UFO last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I remember now last night, I was awakened from a deep sleep. My great-grandmother was standing there. She said she'd come from the hereafter to tell me about SimulTV.com. She even spelled it out for me.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com, sonny boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you'll never guess what my psychic guru just told me.
SimulTV.com.
Exactly. Are you guys psychic too?
Of course.
We all know about SimulTV.com.
SimulTV.com.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper. I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
And welcome back, everyone. Our guest this hour is Stephen Sakellarius, I believe.
Sakellarius.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Before we went to the commercial break, I was kind of taken back when you said that, you know, that basically established religions have been tossed out. You know, the water's been tossed out along with the baby. And I don't see that.
Well, I think the polls back me up. I'm exaggerating, but I think that attendance is going down, belief is going down, mm-hmm. interest in traditional religion is going down. And as I said, I think the polls back me up on that, but I don't have them in front of me.
Well,
I remember reading them. But I've been studying the 19th century, the 1800s, and it's a radical difference since then.
Of course,
because
yeah.
back then it was entirely normal to be Christian, and, mm-hmm. and I mean, you know, being a person meant being a Christian, and if you weren't, it was quite notable. You know, you were an atheist, you were a weirdo, and we have come a long way since then, for better or worse.
Yeah, I agree with you because of the there wasn't as much accessibility to the media and to the negativity that the internet, which in my opinion is the biggest, you know, septic tank that mankind has ever created, because there's more crap in it than anything else. You know, people didn't have access to all the negativity that they have today.
Oh, but they did. They had they were as big into the newspapers as we are into the internet.
Oh yeah, sure. But people wouldn't spend hours and hours and hours and hours and crave.
I think they did. From what I gather, they did.
Nah.
Yeah. It was very. Newspapers were big.
Well, sure they were big, but you read it once and that was it. You know,
I don't see a difference. You know,
you
because
don't.
There was always a new one. There was always another one next week.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, I'm not talking about the dailies, but the weeklies, the literary paper. There was always another one the following week, and there was a bunch of them. So you could just sit there and read them continually if you wanted, and people did. So, you know, and I've been studying those things for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a sense of the dialogue that went on in them and what went on in them.
All right. So why do you think that, well, first of all, who is Matthew Franklin Whittier? I've never heard of him.
Yeah, nobody has. I hadn't either. Yeah. When I first ran across him, he was the younger brother by 5 years of poet John Greenleaf Whittier, mm-hmm. who's known, if he's known at all anymore, he's known in New England, but everywhere else, I think he's dropped off the map. But he wrote a poem called Snowbound about their childhood, and that became a big hit in 1866, I think it was. So Matthew was his younger brother. He's only known historically as the writer of a satirical series, an anti-slavery series called Ethan Spike, which was very much like Archie Bunker. Mm-hmm. Kind of had an edgier Archie Bunker from the 19th century. But he actually wrote a great deal more. He wrote under pseudonyms, you know, anonymously, all his life from age 12 at 1825 all the way until at least 1875, 50 years. And he probably wrote every day, so I've got over 1,600 of his published pieces that nobody's ever heard of. You know, but he was a very, very talented writer, in my opinion. Of course, I'm bragging, you know. But
I think you're biased, not bragging.
Humor, serious essays, poetry, mm-hmm. social reform. He wrote a great deal about against slavery. He mm-hmm. wrote against debtor's prison. He wrote for spiritualism. Defended spiritualism. He was wrote for animal good, you know, proper treatment of animals. You mm-hmm. know, all kinds of things that he was for. But he liked to take anecdotes from real life and spin them into tall tales or stories. He was exceptionally good at that.
How does reincarnation work?
Well, how it works is that we are always our energy body, our astral body. Mm-hmm. We're right now, that's what you are now. You happen to be wearing a physical suit, but you're never that body to begin with, ever. The astral body joins with the fetus at roughly 21 weeks.
All right, let me stop you here because I'm getting a lot of questions. Like, how do we know this?
I know it personally from a yogi named Hari Das, Baba Hari Das.
But how does he know it?
He knows it directly because he knew it directly because he was able to see those things directly.
How do we know he wasn't making them up?
Well, I know because I spent 3 days at a retreat with him and I could uh-huh. see, what he was capable of. He could look at you and he could see your past and future and everything about you in a glance.
Well, so can a psychic.
Yeah, but he was like psychic, like with steroids.
Psychics have been proven to be wrong or to be frauds most of the time.
Of course. Well, it doesn't matter. If 2% of the time they're genuine, then it's a genuine phenomenon.
Well, I don't know about that, but okay. So you're saying that
I used two psychics in my research, and they were right on.
Oh, okay, that's your opinion.
It's not an opinion; it's fact because they made several statements, uh-huh. and they checked out in the obscure historical record over the next 10 years that they had no possible way of knowing. One of the guys got Matthew's first name.
Wow,
he had no way of knowing it.
Okay, so tell me. So this yogi explained to you?
No, he didn't explain to me. Okay. I overheard a conversation. He was counseling a young couple,
right?
And I overheard it. Mm-hmm. And he actually was silent. He wrote on a slate board, and one of his disciples would read the board and speak for him. And he was counseling this young couple, and I was listening. I was eavesdropping, and he looked at me disapprovingly, like you shouldn't be doing this. But then he he thought better of it and didn't stop me, so I overheard him. And what I overheard him say was the soul enters the body at 21 weeks.
And do you have any idea what happens during the development of a fetus at the 21st week?
Afterwards or at?
At. Like what? Well, no, what is the significance? I'm trying to figure out what is the significance of the 21st week? I thought maybe you might.
Well, I think it's roughly the time that's called quickening. When you start feeling bumps and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Kid starts bumping back, yeah. I think it's roughly the same time.
So how many times, in your opinion, do we reincarnate?
Well, I'm a follower of Meir Baba, and Meir Baba said 8.4 million.
Who's Meir Baba?
Meir Baba's my guru. That's another long story. That's another show.
Okay, why do you need a guru?
Why do I need one? Yeah. Because I wasn't doing so good on my own.
Oh, I see. So would you say
I lost on my own?
So would you say that your guru was a mentor, an advisor?
He's the Christ of this age.
And how do you know he's the Christ of this age? Like, you're making a lot of
sense. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Yeah. How do you know? And what he said is you can't really know.
But you called him the Christ of this age.
Right. Well, that's what he said he was. And I have every indication to believe that he was based on following him since 1974.
Wow. So we come back how many times? 8 point something million?
8.4 million is what he said. Before realizing God, before realizing your true self as one with God.
So why do we come back? Like, why don't we just get the message once and that's it?
What he said was that we reincarnate through all of the kingdoms, mineral, vegetable, animal kingdoms. And when we reach the human being, we have full consciousness at that point. But the full consciousness is constricted by mental impressions that we've gathered up to that point and by the mental impressions that we continue to gather as we reincarnate. So until those mental impressions are cleared up, you're only seeing through the lens of those impressions. You know, you can't see the truth. So that we reincarnate to deal with those impressions.
But where do we reincarnate from then?
Well, the astral realm, which is just a higher vibrational realm. It's coexistent with the physical earth, but it's on a higher level of vibration, like a higher frequency. It's like people say, the explanation is often used that it's like tuning into a higher frequency on your television. You know, it's always there, but you can't perceive it because you're not tuned into it.
Okay, so we come back in the minerals, we come back in the water, we come back in all the different elements. Why?
For the sake of consciousness, Mayor Baba said. We're developing consciousness all the way up to the human form. Once we hit the human form, he says we have full consciousness, but then we have to deal with those impressions that are blinding us.
You and I have to take our break for the news at the bottom of the hour. Please stand by, Stephen. The next donation, if you'd like to find out more information about our guest of this hour, the website to visit is www.ial.goldthread.com. This is the X-Zone. I am Rob McConnell, and we're coming to you around the world from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
You said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about...
They're here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Elie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jinniks, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God, and finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simo TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simo TV. Simo TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, sci-fi, and horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand. Live streaming events from around the world. Interactive online network and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simo TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simo TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.
So long for a miracle to come. Everyone told me to be strong, and don't shed a tear. Through the darkness and good times, I knew I'd make it through, and the
welcome back, everyone. We're talking about reincarnation this hour with our guest, Stephen Sakellaris.
Sakellaris.
Thank you. And if you'd like more information on our guest this hour, visit www.ial.goldthread.com. It's hard to fathom the reasoning and the logic behind reincarnating 8 million times or more. To what end? Like, what is the ultimate goal?
Well, that's a hard thing to sum up, but it's let me think for a minute to try to give you a good answer on that.
Okay.
It's hard to come up with a snap one, you know.
Sure.
We are all really the soul. Deep down, that's what we are.
Okay.
The soul is, the analogy that Mayor Bobby used was that the soul is like a drop in the ocean of God. We're really not separate from God. We can't see it, we can't experience it because of these impressions of previous experience. Every time we experience or do something, it leaves an impression on the mind, meaning not the brain, but the mind that transcends the brain. And those color our experience. We see through that lens. We don't see our true self. We don't see God. If those were gone, we would see directly.
Okay.
Okay. So we are trying to get back, but consciously. We're trying to retain the consciousness that was gained by attaining the human form, mm-hmm. and then go back to our source and see God with that full consciousness. That's the whole name of the game.
So once we have been here on this planet, on this existence, as who you are, Stephen, and I am Rob, do we come back here or do we go somewhere else?
Well, again, see, these are things that are beyond my personal knowledge. You know, I have my study and I have my results and I have my personal experiences, but I can't answer those questions based on my personal experiences. Is why I have to keep quoting my guru. You know,
well, what did your guru
say about
this?
He said there are
this?
Other planets that you can reincarnate on, but that this is the one where you can find God.
All right, so if you... For example, you, based on your experience, based on your guru, based on the studying you've done into reincarnation, will you, Stephen, reincarnate back on planet Earth at a time in the future or a time in the past?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, you don't reincarnate back into the past, as I understand it.
Okay.
Some people say you do. Uh-huh. But yes, I'm quite sure that I will. And I hope that what I'll be doing is carrying forward the work that I'm launching now.
And the work that you're launching now is what?
Work that I'm launching now, or that you know, I'm being set up with. I don't know if I'm initiating it or not. But it, as it's developing, it seems to be that I'm going to bring a proof case, and there are many of them. Mine's not the first, but a proof case of reincarnation out into the public in such a way that it can't be shoved back under the rug.
All right, so you do this. What will that accomplish? How is it going to change society?
I don't think it'll solve everything.
Yeah.
But we're back to something you asked earlier. You know, what's the benefit? What's the importance of it?
Right.
The importance of it is that we need to see life as cyclical. That's one thing. We need to see that there's intrinsic meaning in life.
Well, let me ask you, is it that we need it or we want it?
Oh, we desperately need it because the society is falling apart without it.
How do you figure that?
Well, if you, the thing is, you see all these things going on out here in the news. Now, watch the news.
Yeah.
They're directly connected to the loss of meaning. They're directly connected to materialism. They're directly connected to an incorrect understanding of what a human being is. A human being is a spiritual being having a physical experience. As a culture, I don't know about the Christians are, you know, doing their own thing, but as a culture, we've lost that. We've lost intrinsic morality.
Mm.
We've lost intrinsic values. It's causing our society to fall apart. It's causing us to turn to drugs. It's ruining our marriages. It's turning work into a travesty. It's also become a situation where we don't know what the truth is. We now think that truth is relative, and so now nobody knows what's true anymore, and it's a serious crisis.
Could this be an individual crisis where birds of a feather flock together because they cannot understand, they cannot cope, or they cannot survive in today's society? For example, I've been married since I was 21. I have 6 children, 12 grandchildren. I don't fear anything that happens today. I'm very happy with the fulfilled life I've led. I don't feel as if I'm missing anything. So, you know, like, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And as a member of the media, and I've been a former police officer, I've been part of seeing the very best in society. So I don't understand this negativity. And when I look at the news, I see positive news. For example, what is happening with the different organizations that are cleaning up the ocean, the different organizations that are feeding the hungry, building homes for the homeless, you know, providing education. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, of course. And again, back to Meher Baba, he said that the forces of darkness and the forces of light are both operating, but that the forces of light are more silent. They're less obvious, but they're definitely there. There are people who have found meaning in serving other people. And I think, you know, they're on to something. There's no question about it. But in terms of numbers, I think there are some very serious problems out there. I mean, you've seen the statistics for opioid addiction,
for example,
you can't brush that under the rug. It's there, you know.
It's there. Heroin was a big problem in the late 19th century. A big problem, you know. And society was able to overcome that, you know. So the opioids is a current problem that is being dealt with, but you just can't say because of some new age philosophy or some guru or some
well, that's not very respectful. Excuse me, sir.
I don't have to be respectful. Oh, it's my show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just telling you. I'm putting you on notice. That wasn't very respectful.
So why should I respect somebody I don't know or that can't prove anything that he's saying?
Well, generally, people are innocent until proven guilty.
That's true. So you're the one who is saying all these negative things about society. And
well,
I find that disrespectful too. But I'm allowing you to have your opinion.
Well, I don't share your optimism when I see the news, and I think a lot of people don't.
That's because they can't do anything to make a difference because they don't want to get involved. There's a lot of people out there who listen to the news and all they do is bitch about it and don't do anything about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I disagree with you on that. I think there's a lot of people that watch the news are appalled and they try to do something about it and they remain appalled.
But what do they do?
Well, they do all sorts of things. They get involved in politics, or they try to help, or they get involved in spirituality and try to teach other people again, that man is a spiritual being having a physical experience.
But there's a lot of things
that people try to do. They try to teach about reincarnation like I'm doing.
But isn't that your opinion?
What?
That reincarnation and that, you know, that the quasi or the, I don't want to be disrespectful here, so I'm thinking about the way to put it, okay? That these Eastern mystics who find followers who have a problem fitting into everyday society, don't we have to look at this as well and say, well, how do we know it's real? Like, if it makes you feel good and it makes a positive difference in your life, hey, I'm all for it.
But, well, it wasn't my experience. As I said, I was lost. You know, I was really at my at the end of the rope. And my association with Mayor Bob and his teachings saved me, in my opinion.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It wasn't a feel-good thing for me.
And you couldn't find help anywhere else?
I did find, I did study other teachings, and I did find some help in those teachings. But when I began reading Mayor Baba's teachings, I felt like that was it for me.
There was a connection.
Yeah.
I learned a long time ago, and I heard this from many people, both within the religious philosophical arena, as well as mental health counselors, that the answer to every problem we ever have in our life can be found by looking into a mirror and working on that solution. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I do, but if you look deeper, you will find that you're really the soul and not your personality. So Mayor Baba is the same soul, but conscious, whereas we're that soul, but unconscious. So a guru will help you find yourself. It's not intended to be the relationship is there so that you can find yourself.
All right, we've got to take our final break. Please stand by. X-Zone Nation, we'll be back on the other side as we wrap up this hour here in the X-Zone from our broadcast center and studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away.
I was waiting for so long for a miracle to come. Everyone told me to be strong, and don't shed a tear. Through the darkness and good times, I knew I'd make it through. And the world thought I had it all, but I was waiting for you.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
Christopher Fulton is a survivor of the national security state. All he wanted to do was preserve history when he acquired a Cartier watch from the estate of President Kennedy's personal secretary. But that simple act set off a terrible chain reaction. He was pursued by the U.S. Justice Department and the FBI, thrust into the middle of the U.S. government's Assassination Records Review Board, even monitored and pursued by the Russian government. All because that Cartier watch was the missing link of evidence, a timepiece worn by JFK that fateful day in Dallas, a link resulting in Christopher being incarcerated and attacked for 9 years records because he opened a hidden chapter in history. The intriguing journey outlined fully in Christopher Fulton's memoir, The Inheritance, is available now through Trinday.com or Amazon.com. The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination by Christopher and Michelle Fulton is a must-read, an incredible tale of how easily our own government can overrule justice. The Inheritance, Poisoned Fruit of JFK's Assassination.
We're talking about reincarnation this hour, X-Zone Nation. I'd like to hear your comments on it. X-Zone at XZoneRadioTV.com. Are you a skeptic or are you a believer? Once again, X-Zone at XZoneRadioTV.com. I would imagine, I find it very hard believing in reincarnation because I don't think I have ever had an experience where I could make the association between the experience and a past life. And I don't know very many people who do. If reincarnation is real, and if it does play such a significant part in our spiritual evolution, how come we are not aware of it?
Well, I think we are. First off, I think our emotions are all from a past life. We just don't realize that's what they are. Mm-hmm. And when I started looking into past life therapy, that's what it's based on. People are having terrible fears that seem irrational. And when they get into the past life origin of the thing, they find that in the past life, it was perfectly rational. In other words, if they're terrified of getting into the bathtub that they're going to drown, what they find is that they actually did drown in a body of water in a past life. And those emotions, they're experiencing them now in real time. So we do. It's what we don't have are the cognitive memories, but we have the emotional memories and our higher mind. Mm-hmm. My study has shown, demonstrated, the higher mind remains the same. The emotions remain the same, but our new physical brain blocks the cognitive memories unless we're under hypnosis or under maybe dreaming or in some altered state, then sometimes they come through. They also come through for children up to about age 7, but you don't remember them normally.
All right, so what I'm gathering is that people who have these cognitive memories most of the time are negative memories. Am I correct?
No, actually not. Any emotionally intense experience is more likely to be remembered. And what my study showed was there's two variables that need to be met, two criteria that need to be met. First off, it has to be intensely emotional. Right. And secondly, you have to be confronted with something that directly reminds you of it, something that's either something you experienced, you know, you saw in the last life, or something that's very similar to what you saw in the last life. Could be a person, could be a building, could be a place. And if it had strong emotion attached to it, you'll get a flashback, a glimpse. Sometimes more than a glimpse, but for me, it's just glimpses.
You've been taught, you've mentioned your study. What are your qualifications to conduct such a study?
Well, the same that anybody has, because you can't go to a university and get a degree in reincarnation. Mm-hmm. So the experts are, for example, Dr. Stevenson was a child psychiatrist. His successor, Dr. Tucker, is also a child psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. Dr. Roger Wolger had a degree, and I think he had a master's in counseling or psychotherapy, but his doctorate was in divinity, if I remember correctly. Everybody who's gone to this field, well, one of the most qualified people is Captain Robert Snow, who was the head of homicide investigation for the city of Indianapolis. So, you know, he was a professional investigator, you know, so nobody has a degree in reincarnation. For me, I have a master's in counseling, and I studied reincarnation from the point of view of Eastern philosophy from like age 19. Mm-hmm. And I've studied the Western research since 1997, however long that has been.
Sure.
Pretty good qualifications, as good as you can get. you know, since you can't get a degree in that area.
All right, we understand that you've got your degree in counseling and human systems from Florida State University. And, you know, congratulations on that. But
That and a dime will get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
So why should we believe anything that you put out in a study?
You should read my books and then make, and with an open mind, and then make your decision. My books are very long.
Yeah.
They're not that expensive, but they're extremely long. But what they are is the record of my research set forth as honestly as I possibly could do it. I take you through my process of discovery in those two books.
But no disrespect, that's your process. So what you're giving me is a report that is based on you, not a study that is based on accumulated data with points.
Well, no, it's my accumulated data. I'm the subject.
Well, What about other people?
You know, an article on how they can do it.
But you know what? You go to, you know, scientific studies.
I don't understand your question.
scientific studies. You've got, for example, you know, when you do studies, there are, you know, there are those people or there are those topics that. Let me try and give you a better example. Right. When you know, drugs, for example, when they do drug research, they give a placebo and they give the actual drug that is being tested.
Yeah, because, I understand the question. This isn't scientific research. I don't claim it is because I'm not funded. I would love to have been able to do a real scientific study, but I'm not funded and nobody will give me the time of day. So
why not?
Of course I couldn't do that because the same reason you won't. You know, why won't you believe what I'm saying? So nobody does. That hasn't really studied it. The thing is, you have to be motivated. I mean, you, generic you.
Sure.
You have to be motivated to get in there and do the research like I did. Find out that it's been proven. Find out it's been proven many times over from different angles to different standards. Read the research.
But once again, if a person has no interest in it because it isn't earth-shaking, earth-shattering, or it isn't part of a topic that is talked about in the media or on
there
CNN.
There it is. It's not earth-shaking because the media doesn't talk about it. But the media doesn't talk about it, so it won't be earth-shaking.
Why don't you think the media doesn't talk about it?
The media doesn't want anything that would really undermine materialism, I think.
Or is
because
it?
Because materialism makes people buy things.
Oh.
And the economy requires that people... The economy requires a commercial mindset, you know, consumerism. That's the word I was trying to think of.
So are you saying that anyone...
Reincarnation undermines consumerism.
So are you saying that anybody who sells anything is trying to... is doing something wrong and that they shouldn't be selling something in order to make a profit?
I didn't say that.
What are you saying then?
I'm saying that commercialism and consumerism has become a religion and that reincarnation undercuts it.
What happens if you're wrong? What happens if your research is tainted and there is no such thing as reincarnation?
Well, as I said, the first couple of years I considered it, you know, tentative. It's so far beyond tentative that I might as well look down here to see whether my foot is still on there. You know, I mean, it's possible it's not on there anymore, but I'm telling you, it's there.
So how has
that certain about it? Yeah.
So how has the study of reincarnation changed your life?
Well, like I said, I started since I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, I can't remember a time when I didn't understand reincarnation really. But I will say that I was pretty darn confused. I was an atheist when I was a young man, when I was in high school. And I was lost. I was confused. I was completely out of touch with my emotions, in very bad shape, I would say.
Did you seek counseling?
Well, that's a private matter. I'm not going to talk about it on the airwaves. But I will say I was very confused. And then I started reading the Bhagavad Gita.
Uh-huh.
And I would say that put my head together more than anything else.
All right, Stephen, I want to thank you for joining us tonight on Exo Nation. If you'd like to find out more about our guest this hour, why you'd want to do that, God only knows. The website is, just give me a second here, I threw the file across the floor here, www.ialgoldthread.com. And I've got to tell you something, Exo Nation. When I get people like this on the show who obviously have issues, because instead of saying, well, yes, I did, you know, I did go to counseling, but you know what, Rob, it didn't work, and this is why I sought help elsewhere. I would have respected that. But for him to give me this little loose answer, or for him to kind of get upset with me because I wasn't being very polite or respectful to this wacko from India, you know, like, come on, give me a break. You want to, people, come on, people. Who in their right mind would actually give any credit to someone who says, well, you know what? You've been you've been reincarnated up to, what was it, 8.7 million times, and you get reincarnated into every element. You are going to get reincarnated into a rock. You are going to get reincarnated into water. Sad, truly sad. And as we say here in the X Zone, this song says it all. Another one bites the dust here. Exonation, reincarnation. It may be real, but this guest bit the dust. Couldn't get a straight answer. Am I surprised? Not in the least. What I have him back on? Not in the least. Do I think that his guru is a wacko? Oh, big time. I'll be back on the other side of this break. Hopefully, talking with a guest who is intelligent, who can make sense of their topic, and who doesn't believe in reincarnation. I'm Rob McConnell. Don't go away. Another one buys the dust.
If you are looking for a safe, zero-calorie, natural option to the harmful artificial sweeteners on the market today, Just Like Sugar is what you're looking for. Just Like Sugar is a wonderful natural alternative for those health-conscious people who choose a calorie-restricted diet with a great, pure, sweet flavor that tastes just like sugar. Just Like Sugar is a great natural option for people suffering from diabetes and may be useful in restricted diet programs where standard sugars are not allowed and does not cause a laxative effect of some other sweeteners. Just Like Sugar comprises a perfect blend of chicory root fiber, natural calcium, natural vitamin C, and Just Like Sugar's sweetness comes from the natural flavors from the peel of the orange. Just Like Sugar is a natural alternative to harmful artificial sweeteners and will change the way that you believe all natural sweetener products taste. Just Like Sugar is available at your local Whole Foods markets, Wild Oats markets, Henry's, Sun Harvest, and many other fine natural food stores in the U.S., Canada, and worldwide.
They are here, and they've been here for thousands of years, making their presence known in the shadows. They might be seen by a lonely motorist on a deserted road late at night, or by a frightened and confused husband in the bedroom he is sharing with his wife. But who are they? What do they want? Why are they here? Perhaps most concerning, has the government been aware of their presence all along? The new book by Ellie Marzulli, UFO Disclosure, The 70-Year Cover-Up Exposed, delves into the world of UFOs. Can full disclosure be soon? Order now and receive a free hour and 37-minute DVD on the UFO phenomenon, UFOs Are Real. Get both the book and the DVD, a $40 value, for only $19.99. To order your book and DVD today, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net.
You have heard of the X-Zone? Now watch it on Simul TV, plus 500 video games, live TV channels, free video on demand, worldwide, and more. Does this sound like tomorrow's television? Well, it is, but you can have it today, right now. It is Simul TV. Simul TV offers what the others only wish they could provide. 15 exclusive channels like X-Zone, Sci-Fi, and Horror. We are worldwide. No other provider offers that. 500 built-in video games. No need to have an extra expensive system. We have them included. Free video on demand, live streaming events from around the world, interactive online network, and much more. Tomorrow's TV today. Simul TV. Sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. You can have Simul TV today. Sign up at simultv.com. Do it today.